Good morning. I'd like to call to order the October 2nd, 2024 City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and we'll be swearing in witnesses prior to testimony in just a minute. All proceedings of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the Savannah ZBA are final. Challenges to the decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please silence them at this time. And if you will, stand and join me in the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful morning and the privilege of living in this city. Lord, I thank you for the men and women here today. And I ask your blessings on these proceedings. I ask you to give us wisdom, help us to make right decisions. And Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you give us. Lord, I ask your blessings on the marriages and the families of Savannah and Chatham County. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have two items requested to be removed from the final agenda. That's 4790 Waters Avenue for sign variance 24-004597 and 225 West 40th Street variances for ADU square footage 24-004558. Do I hear a motion to remove these from the final agenda?
So moved.
Second.
And Mr. Plunk has made a motion to remove these from final agenda. It's seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and these items will be removed from final agenda. We had the approval of the minutes from the August 22nd meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion by Mr. Plunk to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Baugh?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the minutes are approved. Next, we had the approval of the final agenda as you see it before you. Is there a motion to approve the final agenda?
Motion to approve the final agenda.
Right, motion by Mr. Plunk to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second by Mr. Ball. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the final agenda is approved. If you're going to speak or give testimony here today, will you please stand and raise your right hand and repeat after me? I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right. The first we're going to hear is for Zero Gable Street. This is a side setback variance, 24-004053.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. The first item on our agenda this morning is a request that was continued previously because the petitioner was not present. I'd just like to make sure that Ms. Nelson is actually present first.
Mr. Nelson, are you here?
You are Ms. Nelson. Awesome. Excellent. Okay. So this is a request again for Zero Gable Street. The petitioner is requesting approval of a variance to permit a 2.5-foot side yard setback where 5 feet is ordinarily required in the RSF-5 zoning district. This is kind of an aerial view of the subject property and its surroundings on your screen right now. And I'm just going to run through some of the findings quickly. Subject property is vacant, and it does have street and lane access. It's non-conforming, however, with regard to its required frontage and area within the RSF-5 zoning district. This is a single-family detached district that requires 50 foot of frontage, typically by 100 feet of depth and 5,000 square feet of area. The subject parcel is significantly below that with 25 feet of width and 111 feet of depth. The proposed development for this parcel is a single-family detached home. It's about 20 feet wide and 65 feet deep. It's also proposed to have a porch. You can see the conceptual site plan here on your screen. And again, those variances that are requested, 2.5 feet on either side, where ordinarily we would expect to see 5 feet. And also, this would exceed the maximum permissible building coverage in this zoning district, which is ordinarily 40%. And so as proposed to be configured, this would go up to about 46%. Just to run through some of our criteria, this is a district that anticipates that parcels would be a little bit larger, a little bit wider. And so this does represent somewhat of a special condition. And it does create somewhat of a hardship for the petitioner to use the property as intended. With that, MPC staff is recommending denial of the original request, but approval of an alternative bit of relief, the first being reduce the side yard setback to 3 feet, where ordinarily 5 feet are expected, to reduce the setback for eaves and overhangs by 1 foot, permitting them to be within 2 feet of the property line, where 3 is ordinarily required, and finally to permit lot coverage up to 49%, again, where 40% is ordinarily expected. And this is to permit full building within the new building envelope of 19 feet by 71 feet. With that, staff is happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Morrow, you're recommending the 49%. And can you go back up to where you highlighted that, the little chart there?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so they're okay. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Mr. Morrow.
Yes,
would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning. My name is Patricia Nelson.
Hey, Ms. Nelson. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I couldn't really hear you. I'm sorry.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I just wanted to have I think he answered most of my questions. I just wanted to have the property so I can build for a home for my daughter. That was my reason for doing this.
Do you understand staff's recommendations?
The recommendations that he gave?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What do you think? I mean, do you think you can live with that? Or...
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there any questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Nelson.
Thank you so much for your time.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Nobody's online. Well, we enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Conk? Well, Mr. Conk is not here. Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffin?
No.
Okay, would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we approve based off staff's recommendations.
Okay, Mr. Turner has made a motion to grant the variances according to staff recommendations. Is there a second?
That's second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the variances are granted according to staff recommendations. All right, next we're going to hear 305 Edgewater Drive. This is a side and front yard setback, side and front yard fence height variances, 24-004496.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. I am Brad Clement with Development Services. The petitioner requests relief from Section 9.0 General Site Standards, specifically 9.6, as it relates to fences and walls. Subject property is located in a residential single family 6 RSF 6 district and is situated on an otherwise conforming lot. There were previously other variances attached to this property back in 2018 prior to the adoption of NUZO, and that was attached to a site plan that was not ultimately the home that was built. Those variances expired, so this is the only active pending request at this time. There are no other active variances in the system. Petitioner has constructed a fence that is non-conforming in height and structure per the development standards for the district and is seeking relief so that the fence may remain. Per the ordinance, height of the fence may be increased if the design standards of 964EIV, and I know that's complicated, that's deep down in there, but it has to do with the opacity of the fence at certain levels of height, 70% being that magic number. The current existing structure of the fence does not conform to that section. You can see the location of the property. This is in the Paradise Park neighborhood, if you're familiar with that area, along Edgewater Road. This is behind White Bluff, situated between the Food Lion and Truman Parkway, just to give you some notion of where we are. Here is a picture that was sent by the petitioner. There are several others online. If you were to go to Zillow or realtor.com, the property has been for sale. But this was provided by the petitioner. She's also provided a narrative for justification and some other artifacts. I'd ask that those all be entered into the record. Okay. Subject property measures approximately 9,500 square feet in area per Chatham County tax assessor. Property is zoned RSF6 as mentioned and is conforming. The parcel is within the Paradise Park as mentioned. Dwelling on the lot was built in 2022 per the Board of Assessors. The home is indicated containing 2,028 square feet in living area, which is not subject for discussion today. The existing fence is 5 foot tall in the front of the property where normally 5 foot would be allowable. The ordinance does allow for additional height. And again, that goes back to section 964EIV in terms of construction if you're meeting that 70% transparency. The area of the fence or wall above 3 feet in height will be a minimum of 70% open. The side and rear yard fence have an existing height of 6 feet, which would be allowable if located behind a facade. You'll notice in the side area here, that's what we're talking about behind a facade. It's just a fence that ends in the open. Moving on to the business at hand, the Zoning Board of Appeals may grant variances to certain development standards per section 3.21.10. Granting a variance shall be based on the following criteria. General consistency. The variance shall be consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan and shall not be injurious to neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. There's no implication for a comprehensive plan invocation here. The requested variances are inconsistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. The home was built after the adoption of NUZO 2022, as previously mentioned, and the associated development standards that apply was not conforming at the time the fence was constructed. So this is not a relief from non-conforming. It was built non-conforming. Special conditions and or circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved and which are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Again, this is an RSF6 district, single-family neighborhood, and all of the same fence requirements would apply to every other lot in that large neighborhood area. MPC staff finding is that no special circumstances are present regarding the subject property or its contained structures. The special conditions and or circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. The request is the result of the petitioner's chosen design of the fence. Again, fences under 7 feet tall or not having footings do not require a fence permit, which would have triggered a review of the design of the fence. This fence didn't meet any of those criteria. And so it was put up. I don't know at what point there didn't seem to be a code enforcement action that triggered this request. It appears, and if the city has comment regarding this case, MPC staff has no knowledge of that. The special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature, so as to allow the applicant to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Staff has no knowledge that the motivations for this are purely financial. The house is for sale on market and advertised with modern fencing, but I am not an expert in these matters and cannot make further comment. Literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under the terms of the ordinance and would result in unnecessary or undue hardship. As previously mentioned, it's an R6 lot. Every other neighboring lot is under the same strictures. The variance, if granted, is the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use land, buildings, or structures. The variance is simply not required. The fence could be removed or reconstructed in a manner that would be conforming. Special privileges not granted. The variance would not confer the applicant special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district, the neighborhood RSF6 in this instance. Approval of the variance would, per staff's finding, confer special privilege upon the petitioner because it's simply a non-conforming structure. Staff recommends denial of the requested relief to accommodate the existing construction of the non-conforming fence, front and side fencing located on the subject property. Pending any questions. Staff did speak with the petitioner. I have not met the petitioner. She may be online.
I'm here.
Okay, she's there. Ms. Bannerman, that is all I have for the board.
Is there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Plum.
My only question, which you answered, but I wonder if any other staff could weigh in, was whether this was an action resulting from code enforcement or whether it was a call-in from a private citizen. So I wasn't sure if any other staff were aware of that.
I'm not aware of any report to code compliance or case that they've opened on this fence. I'm not exactly sure how the applicant made the decision to apply for this variance.
So the applicant themselves applied after the fact. It wasn't found by the code enforcement.
That is correct. There's no evidence that was researchable by me that would indicate.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
Yeah, did you say the property was for sale?
Yes, it has been on the market. It's unclear if there's ever been a resident in the property since it was built. But again, I have no direct knowledge of that. Perhaps the petitioner can answer that. Again, there's a narrative that I asked be entered into the record for justification of why the fence needed to be in its current orientation. That has nothing to do with the development standards. But again, the petitioner has the opportunity to speak.
And one other question, this part on the side here, since it's not behind the facade, it comes under the three foot rule?
I believe 4 foot.
The 4 foot. Okay. And right, and currently it is 6 foot.
That's correct. If all other things were, it could easily be made to be a conforming fence in other regards. It's just location, height, and construction type.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Tiffany Bannerman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
I got some pictures. So I don't see it on this. I sent in a lot of pictures. I don't know if you all can see them. Okay. I don't know if you all can see these same pictures. Oh, okay. But yeah, that's the side fence that I'm asking for a variance for 6 feet instead of 4 feet. And the pictures didn't come in at the same order that I pictured that I took them. But I rode around Paradise Park pretty much just to see if what I am asking for is unusual for that neighborhood. And I pretty much stopped driving because I ran into so many fences that had side fence that was 6 feet. And those are the pictures that I took in different, in the same neighborhood of different yards with side fences with 6 feet. And some of the other pictures basically show you, where 6 feet drops down to 5 feet in the front yard. And I don't know if y'all see my justification. Y'all read it, so I don't need to read it again.
How did you wind up coming here today to file for a variance? Who?
Code enforcement did come by.
Okay.
Yes. Right. And this 5 feet in the front and 6 feet in the side does not adversely affect the neighborhood. I'm not aware of any complaints. Actually, code enforcement came from my lot next door because someone came and cut some trees down to Georgia Power, and they didn't remove the logs. So that's why they initially came there. It was from my lot next door. And, of course, they, I assume they seen the fence. And like I said, there's several areas in Paradise Park with fence heights the same as mine. And I guess because I'm in the front of Edgewater, it's just obvious to anybody that drives by. And basically, I'm asking for the variance because even though I'm selling the property, I have been in the property many hours. I spent a lot of time at the property. And those things I've noticed that for privacy and security, people walk by. It's a very lot of foot traffic right there. And it, it is a regular lot. So we are closer to the road than some of maybe other neighborhood, I mean, homes further down that road. And basically, a denial of the variance would deprive us of a design vision, which we want to have a courtyard in the front of the house, in which the fence does allow privacy. And it's also a sound barrier because it is a lot of, that is the main road that takes you into Paradise Park. So it gets a lot of traffic and foot traffic. And in the past, we've had people jump over a 6-foot fence to make access to the back of the properties bordering my backyard. So we have had issues. It's just not, we just want to build a fence. We've had security issues with people jumping the fence and with a total disregard that this is actually private property. And for us to lower the fence, we've spent already over $10,000 constructing this fence. So going back and reconstructing it again would cause a financial hardship to us to have to go back and alter the fence. And we're only asking for 1 foot in the front and 2 feet on the side, which to me is not a lot.
Are there any questions for petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Blum.
So to be clear, does anyone live in the house right now, or is it, it's vacant?
It is vacant. However, like I said, I have spent a lot of time there.
Right.
I've noticed things.
And you've gotten in your report that's in the record says there's been some harassment from folks on the street. You know, that,
yeah, it's someone that walks by the street often enough, and he talks very loudly, very aggressively. And it's scary when you're out there. And we've had people come up to the door and just stand there. So
your plan is you would sell this house and it would go to
a new,
you know,
owner.
Family.
So they, yeah, because, you know, we've had the property, we've had the house on the market. People say, oh, we love the house, but the neighborhood is suspect. So. The fence does add, like I said, privacy and security.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Turner.
Have you had any conversation with the neighbors? I know you said that they're renters, but the owners of the next door house, have they had any issues with their being a fence?
No, actually, we took the fence down. They have the enjoyment of that fence, where it was a metal fence, wire fence. So now they have the whole enjoyment of that side of that fence. So no.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, ma'am. Any members of the public would like to speak concerning this petition? If there are any online, just use the raise your hand feature. All right, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Blunt?
Only that I'm certainly sympathetic if this was, you know, a woman living here and having some harassment issues, wanting to build a fence. But the fact that, you know, right now no one's living there at all, it may be kind of up to the next owners. You know, I'm less sympathetic in that regard.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Would someone like to make a motion? One beside Mr. Condon.
That way she's going.
We need to have some board discussion. Mr. Jones, you're about to say something. I mean, Mr. Turner.
I think it's obviously difficult. I don't know if I see enough justification to go against the existing staff recommendations. But I also don't see who it's disrupting, especially when compared to the other fences in the neighborhood, which are clearly 6 feet and higher. So I lean
the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There were no letters or comments from the public at all, and this was posted publicly and everything went out.
So I lean towards approval, but
leaning and making a motion.
I want to hear discussion from my partner here.
I mean, I don't mind it. I would not want every house in the neighborhood to have that, and I don't want that door open. How do you handle that?
I motion to approve.
All right. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Ball. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Well, hearing none. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Abstain.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 2110 through 2114 Bullock Street, lot and width variance 24-004497.
Morning, Anna McQuarrie, planner at the MPC. I'll be talking about 2110 and 2114 Bullock Street today. So the petitioner is requesting a lot width variance of 2.5 feet for both parcels. This variance will allow for the lots to be recombined and subdivided to achieve equal lot widths of 37.5 feet. The subject parcels are in a traditional residential one or TR1 zoning district, which require a 40-foot minimum lot width. The petitioner is working with the Community Housing Services Agency and the City of Savannah to construct affordable housing that will include 1,032 square feet, single family home, a detached shed, and parking lot on each lot. So here we have an aerial view of Bullock Street. You can see one parcel is much smaller than the other. Right, so these are both located in the Kyler Brownville National Register Historic District and local historic district as well. The petitioner received a certificate of appropriateness from the City of Savannah Historic Preservation Commission on July 26, 2024 for the building design. These are both empty lots with a parcel width of 50 feet at 2110 and 25 feet at 2114 Bullock Street. Historically, a one-story frame shotgun home was located on 2114 Bullock, but according to the State Resource Survey, the home was demolished around 2000. So again, here we just have a view. You can see the lot widths of 25 feet and 50 feet. The proposed design meets the following TR1 setback requirements, and the proposed design meets the other following requirements of lot area, maximum building coverage, and height. So these two parcels will share a driveway with a private portion on each side. The shared portion of the driveway will be 12 feet in width and 6 feet if the private portion on each parcel. The driveway meets the maximum width. The site plan shows the driveway as being a typical rectangular driveway. However, this should be adjusted to match the ordinance, which requires a ribbon driveway. Both lots will have a storage shed as an accessory structure, and this will be located in the rear of the lot and meets those requirements. So here, essentially, they're mirror images of each other. Let's zoom out just a second. So this is at 2110 Bullock Street. You can see the driveway here and then the shared parking portion, the house, and the shed. And then on the other side, we'll have 2114 Bullock Street. So again, the shared driveway here, private parking portion, shed in the back over here. All right, so variance standards and criteria. This variance is consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance and comprehensive plan. These proposed houses will be for affordable housing units for first-time home buyers that qualify for the Dreammaker Home Program. Savannah Local Initiatives, SLI, is a partner with the Community Housing Services Agency in the city of Savannah in the delivery of affordable housing programs. The requested variances are not necessitated sorry about that, by the action of the petitioner. The parcel at 2110 Bullock Street is currently nonconforming with a lot width of 25 feet. Recombination as proposed will bring each lot as close to conformity as possible. The request is not purely financial in nature. These parcels will be used for affordable housing units. All right. The literal interpretation of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. However, the proposed alteration of the lot width will allow for two lots that are closer to conforming under the current development standards. It is advantageous that the recombination occur while the parcels are under ownership of a city agency, as willingness to address the nonconformity is less likely once the properties are in private hands. Further, the requested relief reduces the likelihood that a future owner will be faced with the challenge of building a home on a substandard 25-foot lot. Variance is not required to make use of either property, as both can be developed, but a 25-foot lot is likely to require several variances to setbacks and off-street parking. The variance will bring both lots as close as possible to conforming lot size in the TR1 district. Approval of the variance would not confer special privilege upon the property owner, and MPC staff recommends approval of the requested lot with variance to recombine and equally divide lots at 2110 and 2114 Bullock Street.
Thank you very much. Any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
This is Juan Uzcategui with Savannah Local Initiative. I agree with the staff recommendation and open to any question that you may have.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner? No. All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? You're online, none online. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
I think we, whenever we get the opportunity to help people with affordable housing, especially with the Dreammaker program initiative.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Someone care to make a motion?
Motion that we grant petitioner's request for a variance.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 2653 Costin Bluff Road. It's a parking variance, 24-004506.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request by Ms. Ann Smith at 2653 Causton Bluff Road, and Ms. Smith is requesting a variance of 22 parking spaces, relief from the off-street parking requirement of 22 vehicle spaces required for the expansion of an existing after-school enrichment program and indoor sports facility use. The use has been in operation for several years and seeks to expand into a now vacant tenant space within its existing building, thereby increasing the off-street parking requirement for the use. This is an aerial image showing you the facility, which is an industrial flex space that was built about 1997. The building totals about 9,000 square feet, and the existing tenant went in at about 2018, and they occupied about half that space, or 4,500 square feet. And so since the remainder of the building has now become available, they are seeking to occupy the full 9,000 square feet of the space, and that is prompting the need for the requested variance today. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record, but I will go through a few pertinent facts. The Tenant Performance Initiatives is a 501c3 organization established in 2007 dedicated to serving youth ages 7 to college in building healthier hearts, minds, and bodies. They offer a variety of educational programs, athletic programs, and services that are aimed at fostering life-changing development and growth. It is a weightlifting community development site, Safe Place certified, CrossFit affiliate, and they offer a kids cafe with youth programs consisting of educational tutorials, counseling, and training in urban agriculture, as well as personal health and wellness. So as I stated previously, the use went in about 2018. They occupied roughly half the facility. And at 9,000 square feet, the use is being reassessed, and it presently requires one space for every 225 square feet of this particular use. It has 17 spaces currently, and so under a zoning certification that was issued in association with the expansion, the use is estimated to need 22 spaces. In looking at this, staff determined that with maximum bicycle parking, the off-street parking requirement could be reduced to 38 vehicle spaces and 8 bicycle spaces. Counting existing available parking, this would reduce the deficit to 21. I'll allow John to correct me if I'm if my math is not quite correct there. But again, changing that, we could actually up the number of bicycle spaces and reduce that to 21 spaces ultimately. With regard to the on-site parking demand, PI has two vans that pick up students from about 8 nearby schools, and other students do arrive by bicycle, parent drop-off, and by bus transit through route number 10, which runs nearby. With that, petitioner is requesting 100% reduction of the required off-street vehicle spaces. In looking at the criteria, I would just like to jump down to special privilege in that while this could represent special privilege, it is likely that the public benefit exceeds any privilege that would be granted through approval of this requested variance. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request. The petitioner is here to speak further to the nature of the expansion and kind of the proposed ramp up over time, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Could you scroll back up to the size of the reduction, please?
100%. This right here.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Is the petitioner here? Will you please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yes, I'm Ann Smith, architect and representing PI. And we appreciate working with staff. We have our executive director, Carrie Goodrich, here, and members of the board and staff showing their support. And we're here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner?
Good morning, Ms. Smith. How are you today? In terms of this is a pickup and drop-off type facility, correct? It's not a sports facility in the sense that people are driving themselves there and going inside. It's for youth, and they're being shuttled there by van, or a parent is dropping them off. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. So the additional parking is not necessitated more by the fact that you probably don't use the parking you have now. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
Right. Okay. The one thing that I do always worry about is that there is somebody at the time of pickup and drop off, if these are established times, that is guiding vehicles in and out. I know this is an industrial area, so it's not as concerning as, let's say, a spot downtown. But is the owner of the project conscious of the fact that they have to sort of control, if they will, these additional cars that will be coming in and making sure that people are dropping off correctly and leaving in and out of the facility correctly?
Yes, and if you have further questions, Carrie would be glad to respond.
Yeah, that might be a good, that might be a good idea. Good morning. Just state your name for the record.
My name is Carrie Goodrich. I'm the executive director for PI.
Thank you, Carrie.
To answer your question,
please.
Yes, we usually have one staff member or a volunteer security person on site throughout the program time, and they make sure they handle it. The parent has to come in and sign their child out and collect their child's things and then walk out. So there is somebody that does direct the traffic. There's a designated area for pickup during the pickup times, and there's a designated area for the drop-off during the after-school programs and the summer camps.
Because you can understand how, you know, if people are starting to get out into the roadway and blocking traffic and this type of thing, how it could be a problem.
It's right on the corner, and the entry and exit way is very wide, so it's easily understood. And to date, we've never had any problems.
Great.
Even when we've ran community events and stuff. It's been very well organized.
Super. Thank you very much.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you, ma'am. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Are there any online?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll enter into board discussion then. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we grant the petitioner's request for a variance.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 623 East 48th Street. This is a variance to lot area for ADU 24-004563.
Wow. Sorry, Mr. Chair, if you would bear with me just one second. 94.5, good to know. This is Edward Morrow again. This is a request, 623 East 48th Street, in regard to the establishment of an accessory dwelling unit on the subject parcel. The subject parcel is not 125% of the minimum lot area that's required to establish an ADU by right, and thus it requires the approval of this board. This is a standard that the zoning ordinance states is variable based upon the discretion of this board. I'll also note that this has gone to the Historic Preservation Commission, and it was approved on its consent agenda before coming here. This is an aerial view of the subject property. You can see that it does have both street and lane access. I will go to some site visit photos to give someone some context, as I know that we have received some questions and concerns about this particular request. I was doing a brief calculation here just to determine the subject property is RS-5. Again, it has street and lane access. It contains a single family residence that's 1,189 square feet. The parcel itself is non-conforming for the district. It has a frontage of 45 feet, and it is 100 and I think 5 feet deep. That comes up to just under 5,000 square feet. So it is actually 94.5% of the land area required for this district. And so the 125% standard, then obviously it's a little bit less than 100, if that makes sense. I thought that it was conforming. It is not. I just wanted to correct that error in the staff report under finding number 3. So the subject property measures 4792, which is 94.5% of the lot area required for the district, which is less than the 125% minimum for by right establishment of an ADU. It does lie within the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Conservation District, again, requiring that it go to HPC for its approval before coming here. And so the variance is requested to allow an accessory dwelling unit on the lot. It is conforming with regard to relationship to the principal dwelling and the permitted size for an ADU. Again, the request is to permit establishment of an ADU because it's less than 125%. And so you can see this is the principal dwelling on the property, and this is the proposed one-story accessory dwelling unit to be situated. There's currently an accessory structure in the rear yard. I believe that would necessarily be demolished in order to make room for this. With that, I am going to run through a couple of these standards. The requested variance is consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. And the requirement for 125% of minimum lot area to build an ADU is a standard that may be varied upon recommendation by HPC and the Zoning Board of Appeals because it's located in the conservation district. The property is located in a conservation district, which requires HPC and ZBA. The request is not likely financially motivated. Literal interpretation of the standard, however, would not deprive the petitioner of any rights, given that, again, determination for establishment of a variance is based on this board's discretion. And approval of the variance would not confer special privilege. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the variance. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you, Mr. Morrow.
Sorry, I'm going to.
Would petitioner please come forward?
I'm going to place a few photos here just before I go.
Okay.
These were views from the lane. It's kind of a tight fit, as you can see. This is the principal dwelling on the subject parcel, and this is an adjoining property. You can see it's pretty close there. This is, again, the principal dwelling. This is the accessory structure that would need to be demolished to make way for this. These are the garbage cans in front of a gate. I will say in my SUV, I felt confident that I could make a right turn into this gate if I needed to. I don't know how that would come out once the ADU would be positioned there, but as it is right now, it was sufficient to make a right turn comfortably or to back out into the lane to traverse the area. This is a little bit further down. Well, actually, it's right at the edge of the property. You can see this is the existing accessory structure and trash cans. And finally, this actually is a little bit further down the lane, just so you all can see. It is typical of a Savannah lane. It's extremely tight. So I'll leave these here for the petitioner.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Petitioner here.
Do we have a name?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Jonita Ayland.
Do I hear a motion to continue this until next month's meeting?
I make a motion we continue to next month's meeting.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to continue this petition until next month's meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs.
Excuse
Jones.
Me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I do hear someone right now raising their hand. I'm not sure if they are the petitioner. It's Lawrence Miklos.
Okay, so that.
Mr. Chair, the person that's raising their hand is a member of the public that has sent in comments and wanted to speak. So the comments are right here online, and now they're raising their hand to speak.
Well, we're going to continue. There's a motion on the table to continue this to next month's meeting made by Mr. Condon. Who was the second? Seconded by Mrs. Jones. If there's no discussion on the motion, we're going to vote on that. Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes, and this petition is continued until next month. So the person online, if they want to tune in next month and make their comments, we can do that then.
Just to clarify, next month, we had that meeting at the end of this month. So do you want it here at the end of this month, or do you want it for November?
No, the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay, so the end of this month.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get in touch with the applicant and
make sure
they are up on it. I know with the confusion with the postponement, they probably didn't realize. Okay, next we're going to hear 311 West Wahlberg Street, variances to side and side yard setback, lot coverage, and footprint for ADU, 24-004564.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request by Ms. Kim Campbell at 311 West Wahlberg Street. This is also a petition that recently went through the Historic Preservation Commission, as it is situated in the Victorian Historic District, and it's my understanding that HPC gave a variance recommendation of approval for all three of these requests, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, okay. So the subject property is approximately 2,160 square feet in area. It's about 20 feet wide by 108 feet deep. It is zoned TN1, or Traditional Neighborhood 1, and it contains a two-family townhome at present. The subject parcel is conforming in its zoning district as a townhouse. However, the property contains a dwelling originally constructed in 1900 that is legal nonconforming in regard to its current side yard setbacks. Again, the subject property is within the Victorian Neighborhood District. You can see that it does exhibit a traditional, very traditional pattern in this area. The petitioner's intent is to construct a 515 square foot accessory dwelling unit. The existing principal residence is 935 square feet with a footprint, it's 935 square feet. So the footprint of the proposed ADU would be 55%. Of the area of the principal, which is in excess of the 40% that is permitted for an ADU. That would also cause the total lot coverage to exceed that is permitted within this zoning district with 67.13%. So to run through some of these variance criteria, I'm sorry, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. With regard to consistency, the requested variance is inconsistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance, but not the comprehensive plan. Accessory uses are intended to be diminutive in size relative to the principal use on the lot. And by practice, the zoning administrator has established a threshold of approximately 50% for uses and structures intended to be regarded as accessory. Again, this does exceed that 50% threshold that we've seen previously. With regard to special conditions, the subject property is within the historic district, where a zero-foot setback is somewhat standard. However, this does not constitute a hardship in and of itself. Literal interpretation of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the zoning district, and the requested variances are not required to make use of the subject property. An ADU with 40% building footprint in relation to the primary and that fits within the required setbacks may be constructed on the property without relief of any kind. With that, MPC staff does recommend denial of the requested variances, all three. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Is there any questions for Mr. Morrow? Okay. Would petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good morning. Kim Campbell, Ethos Preservation, here on behalf of the owner of 311 West Wahlberg Street, Mr. Rayfield Reeves. Thank you for hearing our request this morning. Our purpose today is to build a off-street covered parking with an ADU. In order to do that and to not vary the off-street parking requirements for the existing two dwelling units on this property, we are requesting these three variances. This property, while common in parts of the northern part of Victorian District and the TN1 zoning district, does have more in common with those properties that are zoned DR, downtown residential. That is because this row house was built in 1871, as opposed to a little bit later in that period. It's worth noting that were this property 2.5 blocks further north, it would be zoned DR1. It would also have many more surrounding properties that matched it in terms of this row house form. We would also not be requesting these variances today from you. The Historic Preservation Commission did unanimously recommend approval of all three of these variances in our July meeting. They also approved the application for new construction small parts 1 and 2. Last year, this board also granted us a variance on this property to reduce the side yard setback from the main house that is existing from 3 feet to 0 feet to allow us to rebuild what was present. You may recall that this property had a very severe fire and a partial wall had collapsed, so we were required to come back for that variance just to rebuild what was present. I'd like to briefly run through the criteria for a variance for you in regards to these three. In terms of general consistency, we feel that these variances are consistent with the intent of both the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. Obviously, the general rule of thumb has been to consider something accessory if it is less than 50%. That is the rule, not the intent. We have kept this carriage house at 2 stories as opposed to the 3-story main or principal dwelling on the property. It also is located on the lane, and if you look, you can tell it is clearly accessory to the primary use of the property. In terms of special conditions for this lot, obviously the main house itself is existing nonconforming at a 0 side yard setback. Additionally, the width of the lot is nonconforming. Typically for attached single family homes, you would have 25 feet in width on the lot. This lot is only 20 feet wide. If the lot were slightly larger, again, and the house were built as it was, we would not need as many variances. Again, we are attempting to fit 2 cars within this enclosed garage space. In order to do so, we would have to have side yard setback. We would also have to have greater lot coverage than allowed. So these variances would be necessary for any garage, whether there was an ADU here or not. In terms of literal interpretation, the zoning ordinance denies this owner's right to build cover parking. Again, we cannot meet those requirements for 2 cars to fit as required currently without some form of side yard setback and some form of greater lot coverage. Of course, covered parking in carriage houses and ADUs are lots widely widely enjoyed across the TN1 zoning district. This is, again, the minimum variance in order to achieve that covered parking. Once again, special privilege is not granted due to the nonconforming width of the lot as well as the existing 0 side yard setback. Covered parking, this is a privilege enjoyed widely by other owners in TN1 zoning district, including the adjacent property just to the east, where you will see a 0 side yard setback on part of their carriage house as well as greater lot coverage. To summarize, we are asking for these 3 variances in order to allow the owner to enjoy the same privileges as other owners within the TN1 zoning district. This is not strictly a financial consideration in nature. An ADU obviously does offer additional income to the owner, but I will tell you the number of petitions that we have taken through with this project, I think he would have quit if it were strictly financial in nature and sold it to someone else. With that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Connor.
Thank you. I live in the Victorian district, and I'm always concerned about 0 setbacks. There's been, I think, a little bit of a rush to allow people to build these ADUs, which we need them. I'm not suggesting we don't, on 0 lot lines. And the problem becomes when the man next door decides he wants to build one on the 0 lot line as well. So what we effectively are doing is taking away the rights of the neighbors on either side if you can build the entire width of the lot. And being in the business that I'm in and many times trying to climb up in between 2 Victorian homes that literally the eaves are touching each other, if there's a fire or this type of thing, I have a very difficult time. I'm not so pushed off by the idea of maybe sitting it on the lane. Again, though, the problem is if the guy behind you wants to build one and he wants the same right that the guy across the lane has, you can't get 2 cars in there. And so my concern really is, do you really need to run the full width of this thing because of the fact that it takes away the rights of the folks on either side and potentially the guy in the back? You understand where I'm coming from?
I do. So in terms of how wide it actually has to be, we'll start with just a garage alone, 1-story garage. In order to have a one-story garage, we would have to, let's take away the door from the ADU you see here, approximately 4 feet of 20. We're still at 16. We're still asking for a side yard variance on one or both sides. We're either at zero or we're at that, right? So, and then when we add the ADU, we are absolutely pushing the maximum that we have been allowable to be able to call this a two-car garage. Mm-hmm. It's a 14-foot door. We actually had to go back to the HPC for a special exception to request that because garage doors are supposed to be no larger than 12 feet. But again, we couldn't get two garage doors into this. And all comes down to the fact that this is only a 20-foot wide lot as opposed to 25 feet.
Even if you build it to 20 feet wide, a standard two-car garage is 20 by 24. That doesn't include the side door that gets you to the second floor. So it really does not accommodate two cars unless we're talking about a golf cart and a car. So it almost seems like you're trying to stuff a little bit too much into this. This is just my humble opinion. And so, anyway, that was my question. And thank you so much for the answer.
Any more questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Anyone online?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Conan, I guess you've made your comments. Mr. Plunk? Mrs. Jones?
We have a letter here from...
You're right. And I'll read this into the record. This is from Mr. James Hunsrucker. Okay. He says, Mr. Morrow, I support MPC staff position to deny the variances. I remember the night of the fire at the house, how the fire spread from that house, spread to three or four others.
I think that was your concern.
You brought up a good point that I'd never had thought of, that once you build that on the zero lot line on the sides, I mean, the next guy next door, he can't do that. And yeah. Any other discussion from the board? Would someone like to make a motion?
I move that we accept the recommendation of the staff.
All right. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to deny the request according to staff recommendations. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear 7774 Duffy Street, variances for rear yard setback to lot and lot coverage, 24-004566.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the petitioner, I just want to make sure we're aware that the petitioner handed around a handout. This handout is in relation to the petition that we're about to hear now. All right. So Ms. Joy is requesting relief from nonconformity of the 20-foot rear yard setback and 50% building coverage limit to renovate the existing building from a one-story non-residential structure to a two-story single-family home. As you can see from the image on her handout, this was previously a church, and it absolutely has commercial features about it, or non-residential features at the very least. On your screen right now, you are seeing an aerial image that shows that this is surrounded on three sides by right-of-way. You have Paulson Street, East Duffy Street, and East Park Lane. So street and lane access for this particular property. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record at this time. The subject property is zoned TR2, traditional residential 2, and it has lane access from East Park Lane. The property class, according to tax assessor, is commercial. It was used as a church, originally built in 1940, again, per the tax assessor. The land development standards for this structure are non-conforming by required setbacks and building coverage within the zoning district, again, expected as it was built prior to the current development standards. The petitioner intends to renovate the building by constructing a second floor residential space and a first floor garage and storage space within this existing building footprint. So this is an adaptive reuse of an existing building. You can see, actually, this is the first floor right here. You can see the garage. You can see the storage area here. And then the second floor addition is actually kind of this Tetris piece shape right here on top. So that would be the residential space right there. You can see that with regard to our development standards, it is nonconforming with regard to total lot coverage and that rear setback. Staff finds that this is generally consistent with the zoning ordinance's provisions regarding nonconformity. Request of relief for nonconformity is consistent with the intent of both the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. We've outlined the standards there as they relate to this. The special condition with this particular property is that the existing structure was built nonconforming prior to the establishment of the current development standards. And those special conditions are not the result of the actions of the petitioner. The request is not likely financially motivated, but again, there is benefit in the adaptive reuse of the structure. The relief from nonconformity is required to make use of the subject property for the proposed use. I'll also say that relief from nonconformity would be required in order to bring this this particular structure into use, even as what it was most recently, a church. So with that, MPC staff does recommend approval in support of the adaptive reuse of the existing structure, and the petitioner is here to offer you some additional information about her request. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Hi, I'm Shauna Joy. I'm the property owner, and I believe my architect might be online if you have questions for him as well.
Do you have any? Do you have anything you'd like to say other than that?
No, I just wasn't sure what y'all needed because it's my first time doing it, so I brought some pictures for you.
Any questions for petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Conley.
The question man today. The first of all, I think it's a great use of the space. I'm very familiar with the building, and it's been unused, as you are aware, for quite some time. I was a little worried because once the roof collapsed, I thought maybe we might lose the building. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a very creative use of the space, and congratulations for doing that. It's a residential neighborhood, and we have a number of these commercial-type structures, you know, in our residential neighborhoods, especially in the Victorian District, that I think need to be repurposed into housing like this. So good on you.
Thank you. We discovered it. We live about three houses down the street and discovered it on a walk when we had COVID one day. So it was kind of we saw the yard sign, and we're like, who owns this?
Any other questions for the petitioner or the architect? Is the architect online?
What's the name again?
Brian Mossing. He's at a job site, so he may or may not be there.
He's there. He's not raising the hands. Not sure. Now he is.
All right. Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? No one?
Right, may I make a note from the city?
Sure.
John Anagnos from Planning and Urban Design. If you may have noticed in the photograph that was shown, there is what in the photograph was being used as a driveway, but which I believe was never permitted as a driveway. I think the previous use of this building was a place of worship, and that would have been a pedestrian entrance and gathering space. The applicant is proposing significant vehicle parking within the structure, so that if it's the will of this board, the city would support a condition on any variance approval to restore that street lawn to grass where it's in the right of way.
Would you like to address that, ma'am?
Yeah, that was something we had planned on doing. I just didn't know when to ask for that, so I didn't one thing at a time. It used to be, I think, where the pastor parked. Yeah.
John, does that need to be part of the variance?
It would be helpful because we don't typically review right-of-way improvements as part of a building permit unless they go through a site permit process, which this would not. So they would need to apply for a separate right-of-way permit to do that improvement to restore the grass. So it would be helpful to just have that carry forward through the building permit review process to have it as a condition of the variance.
So in a motion, how would we best describe that?
That the applicant apply for a right-of-way permit to restore the street lawn.
Would that be something that could be done today, or do I have to wait another month?
My understanding is that the board can make a motion to approve the variance with that condition, and then you would be free to continue with your building permit. And then as part of your building permit approval, we would ensure that you did apply for the right-of-way permit.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we bought it a year ago, so it's just been real slow, which is fine.
Any other questions for petitioner? And all right, thank you. I don't think there's anyone online that wants to speak, correct? All right, Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones? Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plum?
No.
Mr. Ball?
No.
All right, would someone care to make a motion? Oh, hold on before. Apparently we've got. All right, back to 774 East Duffy. Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the variance with the addition. John, please insert for me.
That the applicant apply for a right-of-way permit to restore the street lawn.
Okay.
He said.
Mr. Condon.
I second that.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the requested variances with the condition that the applicant submit a permit for the restoration of the street lawn, and is seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is granted with conditions. Next, we're going to hear.
Chairman, before we continue, I know there was, you know, what we just talked about with the person who's on their way. There was a person online who was very interested in speaking on that first petition. Is that person still online? No, the person who wanted
the public
comment. Member of the
public that wanted to speak, they believe that this is continued.
We've
until
told
next
them that
month.
It was continued now. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, I turned my mic off. I'm so sorry. What I'll say is that I spoke to the young lady. She has submitted written comment, which is attached to the final agenda and available online. In an effort to truncate her ability to speak today, but we have record of her comments.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. We're going to hear 1201 Bull Street. This is an appeal to ZCL. What does that stand for? Is that
zoning certification letter?
Yeah, zoning certification letter. 24-004075.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. Philip McCorkle, the agent for 1201 Bull Street LLC, is appealing a determination of the City of Savannah zoning administrator or his or her designee for the stated zoning certification letter for a proposed inn and restaurant use at 1201 Bull Street and 11 West Duffy Street. Confirmation letter appealed, produced following an initial review of the building plans for the site, assigns an off-street parking requirement based on parking credits for the most recent prior use. The petitioner has appealed this determination, asserting that an earlier prior use carrying an equal or greater off-street parking requirement should further reduce or fully eliminate the off-street parking requirement in consideration of subsequent uses. The administrator states there's departmental precedent for the determination of grandfathered parking based specifically on the most recent prior use. In looking at this, MPC staff has attempted to kind of focus on kind of the singular question of must a determination of grandfathered parking for a given use be based solely on the prior use, or does the text suggest that it could be any prior use of that particular structure? I will say, actually, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record at this time, even though I will probably go through these facts, just given the significance of this particular proceeding. There was a second question that came up. So first, in essence, a reading of the text to suggest that the city's approach to grandfathered parking is consistent. And number two, the prior issuance of zoning confirmation letters that is inconsistent with kind of what we're talking about today. So both of those things, I think, warrant some sort of discussion from this board. So I'm going to run through the findings quickly. The property at 1201 Bull Street consists of approximately 0.42 acres. It's currently zoned TC2 or Traditional Commercial 2. It contains two commercial structures, both built around 1940 per the Chatham County Tax Assessor. I will say I've seen other records indicating building dates earlier than 1940. The larger the two structures has a footprint of about 8,600 square feet and is currently described as a mixed retail building. It contains a second floor that is just a portion of that footprint at 7,500 square feet. So in total, just over 16,000 square feet there. The smaller building measures approximately 5,540 square feet and is described as a storage warehouse. Again, all of this per the Chatham County Tax Assessor. The property is within the bounds of the Victorian Local Historic District, but the buildings are not indicated as contributing on the district's resource map. That means that there could be a request to demolish, which of course would go before the HPC for a determination of the contributing status of those buildings. So the owner of the property began work toward the establishment of an inn and restaurant within these existing buildings on the properties in about 2021. Plans submitted to the city for review indicate three proposed tenant spaces on the first floor and 15 guest rooms for a lodging use on the second floor. The structures on the subject property were considered for proposed design modifications by the Historic Preservation Commission as early as August 25th, 2021. And MPC Historic Preservation staff reported at that time that the initial COA petition was continued to permit resolution of issues regarding the off-street parking requirement. So there were questions at the first hearing. It was continued. It was brought back in October, I believe. And then a staff report that was dated October 27, 2021, Historic Preservation staff noted receipt of a letter from the city's planning and zoning liaison, which was dated September 22nd. Which indicated that no off-street parking was required. It would appear from my reading of this that the COA that had been held up was recommended for approval based on this resolution of those parking concerns. And you have the relevant COA number there from 2021. Zoning certification letters for the proposed use were issued by the city's Planning and Urban Design Department on August 21st. There was a revised version on August 18th, 2021. There was a revised version with the same date. There is a May 17th, 2024 version of the very same letter. And again, there was the fourth version of the letter, which was a September version, which was also 2021. So four separate instances, all under the exact same zoning confirmation letter number, all referenced under the same number. The original ZCL that was issued at August 18th indicates no off-street parking spaces were required. The revised one indicates 7.25. Again, same month, same date, with two different determinations for those. The third one, which is referenced in the MPC staff report, again verifies there are no off-street parking spaces required. Fast forward to May 17th, 2024, and the ZCL then demonstrates an off-street parking requirement of 14 spaces, which is three spaces for the second floor inn at 1201 Bull Street and 11 spaces for 11 West Duffy Restaurant. So four separate determinations for this one property. Credit for legally non-conforming parking areas is determined in accordance with the provisions of Section 9.3.4A4, and I'm going to zoom this in just so we can understand. This is the text that staff is recommending that this be remanded for a more expansive reading. It says this provision shall not apply if the building space is increased by 40% or more. There was no proposed expansion. This is completely within the existing structure. In determining the off-street parking requirement for a use which is located or will be located within an existing building, the required amount of parking is determined by first calculating the number of spaces which would be required if the use were to be located within a new building under this ordinance. Then credit is given against that requirement for any number of spaces which would have been required under this ordinance for the prior uses in the existing building, but which were not provided because such building was occupied prior to the passage of the ordinance applied when the development occurred, which required parking spaces. And so, again, it's on the basis of the fact that this says uses. It does not specify a particular prior use. It seems to suggest any potential prior use of the subject property. That's staff's reading of this. In looking at the options that are available to this board, staff, again, decided that there were two potential courses of action that may be prudent, and I think both of them kind of merit a brief discussion. At first, it is the interpretation of the meaning of this particular section, and to that, staff response would be, it seems prudent at this point that city staff should go back and review future assessments of grandfathered parking spaces based on this more expansive reading, which is consistent with what you have just heard. The second being addressing the previously issued determinations, which are somewhat conflicting. So the first recommendation that staff had is that we send this back to the zoning administrator for a determination that's consistent with the more expansive reading of any prior use, in essence, or to leave it to this board to make a determination that the petitioner relied on the previous issuances. Again, these were 2021 letters that were issued, and then there was a reassessment in 2024, which was conflicting with those that were previously issued about 2.5 years later. And so staff finds that it would be prudent perhaps for this board to also weigh in on this idea that there was some reliance on the part of the petitioner on city staff's initial determinations. So with that, I am happy to answer any questions you may have. As a parting thought, I am going to offer the Sanborn maps from 1955, which are the earliest that we have on hand through the city's links. You can see that all of these were non-residential uses for the two buildings that are present there on the site.
Any questions for Mr. Morrow? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm a big fairness guy. You know that about me. And it seems, from a fairness standpoint, these folks started 3 years ago working on a project. They went down the line. They put restaurant in downstairs and so on, based on information provided by the city. To go back to them a few years later and tell them, oh, sorry, that was wrong, now this is correct, just doesn't pass the fairness test. The other piece of the thing, when we talk about, you know, dealing with folks, is that I think it's important that we as an organization, you know, planning and the building department and so on, work with people and treat them in a way that doesn't require them going through this multiple years later. You know, I can only imagine the carrying costs for these guys for a building that's a gigantic building that they must have paid millions of dollars for that sits primarily empty. So I'm going to let my fellow board members decide what we do with this thing. But at the end of the day, I think it's important that we treat people fairly when it comes to these types of things. And if we as a city make a mistake on something, we have to be big boys and just say, well, we made a mistake, and so we're going to work with you to try and make it right.
Any other questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record?
Jeff Nodriga. I'm the petitioner.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Anything you'd like to say?
Thank you. I think the gentleman who just spoke pretty much summed up in a nutshell. I relied on 2021 letters from the city to get this done. I would request that you, if you have it in the power to give me that, going back to those 2021 letters that I spent considerable time and money relying on so that I can get my permit and finish this project.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature.
No, sir.
All right, there are none. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I would just echo Mr. Condon's comments. It seems like, these buildings were existing. I really can't imagine a situation where we would take an existing building and limit its use going forward. So, I don't see a problem here.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon, you have anything else?
Well,
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
I'll just want to make sure we word our motion, whatever it is. I completely agree with Mr. Bond, Mr. Condon. Just figure out the motion. Are we asking them to reinterpret this statute, or are we just trying to, give Mr. Notrika relief, on a limited single case basis?
Mr. Morrow, maybe you can scroll back down to your two recommendations so we can see that.
I just also wanted to add, I believe the city wanted to make a comment in regard to the history of what may have happened.
John, do you want to say anything?
Great. All right. Great. Thank you. All right. Good morning again, John Anagnost, City of Savannah Planning and Urban Design. So I think I'll start with the difference between the 2021 zoning confirmation letter and the current zoning confirmation letter. That the old confirmation letter specifically references a floor area that's in the tax record for this property. Prior to 2020, the property tax card showed this building being divided into several different uses, like 9 different uses. And so most of them represent the retail spaces or restaurant spaces on the ground floor. There are some storage spaces, which I believe are on the upper floor. And then there's an office space, which not clear where that even is in the building. And then there's this sketch, which is multiple residential low rise. And that shows a floor area of 1,676 square feet. That floor area is specifically referenced in the original zoning confirmation letter in 2021 as the basis of no parking being required. The upper floor of this building is over 7,000 square feet. That's a pretty substantial error to not account for over 5,000 square feet of floor area when you make a parking determination. So that's the major source of the issue, is that the original letter, for some reason, used a much lower floor area as the basis of the parking calculation. And that then led to it saying there's no parking required. So when we revisited this, we did have to account for the upper floor having over 7,000 square feet of area and what was in the floor. I do think this particular building, the 1201 Bull Street building, I think we can find a solution that doesn't require a variance. I have mostly been responding to the applicant, the property owner's assertion, which has been consistent, that there were 15 apartment units in the upper floor, and mainly using that as the basis of the confirmation letter for this building. I will note that his attorney, who he obtained actually at the beginning of this case, but who is no longer representing him for this case, stated that there were 17 apartments in the upper floor when they requested a zoning information letter in, I believe this was 2021. And then we have a letter from an architect representing the previous owner in 2013 stating, our renovation is going to involve developing the upstairs portion of the building as residential units, and then requesting information about whether remote parking could be used to serve the parking requirement of that conversion to residential. So I think there's been some inconsistency in the evidentiary record of what exactly has been in the upper floor of this building. And so that has led me to raise questions of the applicant's assertion that it was 15 apartment units. That being said, I think if we account for the empty storage space that is reflected on the tax record as residual retail space of the Savannah Flooring Company, that can probably get them enough additional parking credit in the non-conforming parking provision to cover all the parking for the in-use. So I think we can move forward with the in-use with no additional parking being required if we look at that space in that way. I will also note that the in-use is probably possible even with three parking space requirement using the loading area that's in between these buildings currently. I think it is possible to construct three parking spaces there. Then I will speak a little bit on the restaurant use, which I think gets to the real crux of this conversation, and I'm glad that the MPC staff brought up this question because it's a question that really has plagued this credit for non-conforming parking areas provision since it was adopted with NUSO in 2019, which is what previous use do you get credit for? It's not written super clearly what that means. The one thing that I will caution this board of, if the interpretation of that is expansive to say any previous use and it's the applicant's choice, that does open up a lot of possibilities. And I'll give you a specific example, which is the proposed project that was at the northeast corner of East Gwinnett and East Broad that was historically a movie theater and was proposed to be redeveloped with apartments behind it and then some retail or food hall space along East Broad. So that applicant went through the same type of process of asking for a zoning confirmation letter to establish parking based on credit for non-conforming parking areas. That building was had a permit approved in the late 1970s to be converted to a International Food Relief Association, which was essentially a small area of office space. And then the majority of the remainder of the movie theater was converted to a warehouse storage. And so that was the basis that we used for that zoning confirmation letter, because that was the most recently permitted use where parking was not provided. If we return to the movie theater use that was established in the 1930s, they would be eligible for credit for a much larger amount of parking, because movie theater parking is based on the number of seats in the theater. And so they would have gotten credit for dozens of parking spaces. And so that changes their whole project. And so I think that's an important question to ask, you know, probably in a larger context than this board, which is if there are areas of the city where there are historic buildings that we think function well without parking, we probably shouldn't be creating this special exception where we have to do extensive calculations and jump through hoops to figure out how much parking is required. We maybe just need to have a conversation about reducing the parking requirements across the board for those areas, like we've done in the Victorian District, the Streetcar District, and the Downtown District. So I think the Duffy Street case is a little more difficult. It gets to, yes, there was, I absolutely accept the assertion of the applicant that there was a social club there, but there have been two other uses permitted since then, which would have a lower parking requirement, and that's what we based the calculation on. That's all I have.
Any questions for John? Go ahead.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you clearing that up. So if we were to, let's say, push this off till next month's or later this month's meeting, do you have a confidence that you all could get this resolved without us having to act?
For the Bull Street building, yes. For the Duffy Street building, no.
That's the next petition.
The next petition.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Right.
Push this back until after we hear the next petition.
I think we got to hear them separately. They're two different applications.
They are two separate applications. However, they are on the same parcel. They're addressed differently because of their frontages, but they are not separate reports or assessments. The zoning confirmation letters speak to both properties individually. And so, again, the underlying issue still remains. There's just some, I don't want to say obfuscation. It's just unclear in essence. So you would take two separate votes ultimately.
Right.
the purpose of the two petitions.
So, Mr. Morrow, the thing here, he based his not having to have required parking on the letter, which was based on the fact that that was a great big storage area or warehouse.
Well, in summary, for both of the previous letters that were issued, they did take into account both of these. So we're still ultimately in the same place with both of the determinations.
But now what's up there is 17 separate apartments. Is 15. Okay. Am I correct? Am I following that?
Yep.
Which would have a very different parking requirement than what the letter was based on.
Am I understanding?
Sorry, I guess I should have given you a little more of the history. So the current state of the second floor of 1201 Bull Street, it is totally open. Well, there's one wall that passes through the center of the space, but basically it's two large rooms. It's been completely gutted down to the subfloor. All mechanical, electrical, plumbing is gone. It's just an open, empty space. And so the basis of there being 15 or 17 apartments there, depending on whether you ask the property owner or his attorney from 2 years ago, is them providing, and his architect, providing affidavits saying, I looked in there before. They got a demolition permit in 2019. The scope of work listed in the demolition permit was remove interior walls. Did not note what the use was, didn't provide a as-built floor plan, just said remove interior walls. So really the evidence that I looked at was, what does the property tax record say? So I show you those sketches that only showed 1,600 and some square feet of residential and the rest storage and office. I looked at the address points in our address database. There's only three or four addresses on this property aside from the retail storefronts along the street. And the number of units listed in the property tax record, there's no number of units listed. And so typically residential properties, if they're multifamily, will have a number of units listed. So other than the affidavits from the applicant and his architect, there's no formal, documentation in terms of permitting and property tax record that suggests there was ever more than four apartment units in that upper floor. And so that's where, and now it's gutted, so we don't know. We can't get evidence now. So that's what that was based on.
Okay. We'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to add or ask?
I am very familiar with this building. I had a contract on it and made a run at it in 2013. And at the time that I was working on it, the entire upstairs was residential. I don't remember how many units, but, it was all apartments, maybe 10, 12, 15, something like that. So, I can't attest to its previous use as all residential.
Mr. Griffith?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Plump?
No.
Mrs. Jones? No. Would someone care to make a motion?
I take a step back. I don't want to make a motion. I want
to make a comment.
What discussion, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I take John at his word that he believes that he can fix this thing without us having to do something. I think it's tremendously valuable that Brad was in the building in 2013, so he can speak more directly to what it was, which was apartments, right? Multiples of apartments. I would like to slide this one off, even if it's till the next meeting, to give them a chance to iron it out, because that might happen before you'd even get the paperwork back from us approving a variance. So you might be able to get that building permit in motion. Well, I can assure you it'll take you more than 30 days to get a letter from us saying that it was done. And then let's listen to 11 West Duffy so we can have a more balanced sense of what's going on. And I'm happy to listen to people's response to that.
My apologies, I wasn't clear. There's only one report and one assessment because the letters combine the two. So we just need two separate votes on the two separate properties, in essence. Well, they're actually two separate addresses because it's two buildings on one property. But the zoning confirmation letters, they speak to both of the cases in one letter. So right. Your vote on the one, I believe John said that he was able to potentially resolve that one.
Right.
It was 11 West Duffy. This is the same report for both.
I haven't.
No difference.
There's no difference. Yeah.
Reports.
Mm-hmm. They're the same because they came in together. They've been evaluated together.
John, can I ask you a question, please? We haven't addressed it, so it's difficult, but these are sort of commingling as you understand. 11 West Duffy, what's the proposed use?
Restaurant.
Now, there's a restaurant currently on the Bull Street side of the building. I know because I've been there.
Yep, that's right.
So they want to put an additional restaurant in, and that's where you're not convinced that the parking requirement would be met.
Right. So, you know, as you saw in the MPC presentation, the credit for nonconforming parking areas provision says prior uses, you can get credit for parking that would have been required of prior uses, but which was not provided. And so the customary approach to that from the planning department at the city is to use the most recently permitted use that we can ascertain. If we can't find any permitted use, then yeah, we'll go back all the way to whatever we think the building was originally constructed as.
Right.
And so in this case, the applicant himself had one of the most recently permitted uses, which was a motor scooter sales and rentals business. And we have the application form signed by the property owner and approved by the city we also have a code compliance report against the property owner for storing scooters in the right of way in the sidewalk. There's also images from Google Street View where you can see the motor scooters for sale and the sign on the front of the building saying Motorini. So that's where that case is much more squarely in the vein of, do we base it on the most immediately preceding? And then after that use, there was also an art gallery that was permitted. Do we base it on the most recently permitted use or any use in the history of the building? And so that raises the question then, if you look at the Sanborn map that was shown, it was listed as Venetian blinds or acoustic equipment. So should we go back to acoustic equipment as the previous use? And who is making that decision? Is it the applicant's decision? Is it staff's decision of what previous use to use? And so that's where we have.
Of course, the complication is that the word is uses.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can understand how that is extremely vague.
Right.
And it just as you say, I think allows for an interpretation that I'm going to pick and choose the one that I want. But that certainly is not the fault of the applicant, just as it's not the fault of the applicant that the city, for whatever reason, incorrectly labeled the upper apartments as storage space at 1,700 square feet when, you know, there were maybe 15 apartments up there. Do you know what I mean? Nobody's fault. But, you know, my concern is, again, I fall back onto that fairness thing. You know, people spend millions of dollars in expectation that they are going to be able to do something. And if we have, as a city make a mistake, then it's our mistake and it doesn't seem fair. So, you know, to then, go back to somebody. So that's my thing. It just comes down to, you know, I'm just one of those people. Yeah. So thank you very much, John.
May I respond to that briefly?
Yeah, please do.
I think that makes absolute sense. I understand what you're saying about fairness. The other component of the credit for nonconforming parking areas is the intent of any provision in the zoning ordinance that deals with nonconformities is that the use being granted relief for being nonconforming is intended to have been a use that was legally established in the first place. And so that's the other, you know, big question of we don't have any permits in our records of these apartments. They never were assigned addresses. And so that raises the question of were they legally permitted or were they constructed without permits? And if they were constructed without permits, then in going back to the concept of fairness, to be fair to people who go through the proper channels and obtain a legal building permit and then get addresses and properly established use, in fairness, they should gain the benefit of relief for nonconformities. A person who does something illegal and then asks for relief should not be granted the same grace because they did not do it the right way in the first place.
I totally understand what you mean, but if you buy a building and you were unaware of the fact that the prior owner maybe 70 years ago, you know, did the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean? Is that your burden or is it the burden of the city to have discovered that 15 families lived above a restaurant on Bull Street? You see what I mean? So it's very cloudy, this whole thing. Awesome. You know? Yeah. Thank you very much, John. As usual, you're a tremendous asset.
So then, Mr. Morrow, is there going to be anything further that you're going to reveal about 11 West Duffy Street?
No, sir. We just need two separate votes on the two separate petitions. But they are in relation to the same.
Both tied to the same
proposal.
Letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see. Does anybody need any further clarification about what we'll be making motions on and voting on?
Mr. Morrow, am I correct? We're effectively going to say that we're going to waive the parking requirement based on the fact that we want the initial 2021 letters to be the letters that are being used. Is that more or less what's being asked? Yeah, right.
That is an option. Okay. Yes.
If we remand it, which was the original recommendation from staff, I mean, it just goes back and y'all get to talk about it some more, or is it, does that?
Well, the idea was that there would be a directive from this board on how based on your interpretation of that and to say, staff, please go back and review this in light of this new information that the word uses is unclear with regard to, you know, the most recent prior use or the original use. So give us a new rendering in light of that fact.
Basically,
you either decide how we want to, and, you know, we can decide as a board right now to tell them how to interpret
correct
that statute going forward, or we can look at this as a narrowly tailored, you know, in this specific case.
I think we can tell that how it's going to be determined in this case, but no motion on these applications will necessarily determine how it's interpreted in the future by them. It's just specific to this case.
That's correct.
And we're basically going to be deciding whether or not we're going to uphold the original interpretation that this man, the petitioner, received from the city, or we're going to remand it back to the zoning administrator and he's going to give a new interpretation that is going to stand or either come back here for another variance or for a dispute from that determination.
And there's a third option. And the
which
third
is?
Option is that we could slide this off 3 weeks. That gives them 3 weeks to work with John, figure something out, and then we can do this 3 weeks from now rather than my feeling is that John has asked for the opportunity to iron it out with these guys. And I think we should give him that opportunity to do that. And we're talking about 3 weeks, which I know for the petitioner is a lifetime.
Yeah.
Just for the one building, though, the Duffy Street.
I get that. But for us, John, this is really one thing. You know what I mean?
Before we do anything else, there's been a lot of discussion. I'd like to offer the petitioner a chance to – would you like to come back and say anything, sir?
Based on everything that staff has said after you spoke.
Thank you. Quite a set of facts here. I think you'll understand the gist of what the issue is. You know, I relied on this 2021 letter. I appreciate John's work, but he's gone a long way towards going out of his way to make this more complicated than it needed to be. I should be able to rely on a letter I get from the city that I spent considerable money and time to get a set of plans going to get this project moving. You know, I don't know what the issue was prior to 2013 of who did what permitting wise. I don't know how that's germane to this conversation. Ideally, I would love to get this adjudicated today and be able to go forward with this project. I have been working. I've been slowed for over a year on this one issue, not to mention the time I got slowed by the HPC refusing to hear the issue until I got the 2021 letter that said I did have the required parking that I was grandfathered. This has been quite a burden on me, and I'm just not clearly convinced how 3 weeks is going to make a difference, because I think I just have a different opinion of what John thinks regarding the grandfathering and being able to move this forward. I cannot put three parking spaces on this property. Basically, there's no way to put legal spaces between the two buildings. Plus, it would basically disturb what I want to do here on the project overall.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're fixing to hear a motion, and just want to clarify too, because I don't know if anybody's aware. You know, we make a motion and second it, and I ask if there's any discussion on the motion. Anybody can also make a motion to amend the motion that's on the table, and we then vote on that. And I, you know, so just keep that in mind for this and anything in the future. All that being said, Mr. Plunk, you have a motion you want to make?
I do. I would like to motion on behalf of this board that we overturn the 2024 ZCL and reinstate the 2021 determination of the zoning administrator.
Okay, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to overturn the 2024 letter from the zoning administrator and reinstate.
Point of clarification, just to make sure, are we talking the one that said seven spaces or zero spaces? So 2021.
Right, there were multiple from 2021.
Right. So I'm going to go back to the one that MPC previously relied upon, which was a September 20. Leah relied on a letter from September 20. This is the staff report where it's referenced. So I might say referencing the previous MPC staff report's reference, which was a September letter.
Okay, the September 2021 letter. So Mr. Plunk has made a motion to overturn the 2024 letter from zoning administrator and reinstate the September 2021 letter that requires zero parking spots.
That is correct.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
And Mr. Bell?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes, and the 2021, September 2021 letter is reinstated. Now, 11 West Duffy Street, 24-004080.
I'll motion once again that this board overturn the 2024 ZCL and reinstate the September 22nd, 2021 determination of the zoning administrator that was previously relied upon.
Okay, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to overturn the 2024 letter from zoning administrator and reinstate the September 2021 letter from the zoning administrator. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes, and the 2021 September letter is reinstated for 11 West Duffy.
And there's a motion that we hear item 623 East 48th Street.
Yeah, but there's, okay, yeah. So Mr. Condon has made a motion to, the item that was continued till next month, which is, which one did you say it was?
Number eight.
623 East 48th Street. We continued that until the next scheduled meeting. Mr. Condon has now made a motion to bring it back and be heard today.
I will second Mr. Condon.
Seconded
motion.
By Mr. Plunk. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right. and
we've heard the staff report
for this one. So would the petitioner care to come forward, state your name for the record? Yes, ma'am. Hey.
I'm Jonita Adlin, and I own 623 East 48th Street. I apologize for my appearance. I've had no electricity since Thursday, so that's why I didn't know about this meeting. And what do you want to know?
Is there anything you'd like to say concerning your petition?
Pretty pleased with sugar on top. We would like to build this little ADU guest house. I think you have all the plans. My architect was supposed to come to the meeting, but she didn't know because I didn't know we were supposed to come last Thursday. So I think you have all the info. So do you have questions for me? Is that why I'm here?
I was just going to ask that. Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions for the petitioner? Okay. No questions.
If I could just
go ahead, Ms. Moore.
The young lady, I'm going to
public comment.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And I'll let you scroll down.
Okay, great.
So there were some specific concerns.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. There was a lady online. Now it's coming back to me a little bit there, right. Mr. Blunt.
Were you not able to reach? She has not responded.
But
there's two public comments included in the record. Which was the person? These ones that are up here.
This was her, and actually, I believe this is her home.
Okay.
We had a phone conversation. She stated she's able to reach out of her window and touch the roof of the house next door, so I must assume this is her.
Yes.
And so I just want to bring up her particular concerns, parking and trash, excessive noise pollution, loss of privacy, overcrowding and community harmony, traffic and safety concerns. I'll also just for the record note that we spoke briefly about the fact that I think she has a multi-unit dwelling. So she may actually have some tenants who are there who also have vehicles, and there was concern for overcrowding. But it's an investment context as well. It's not a, you know, pure single family dwelling.
So. Yeah, I just want to make sure we get her comments into the record, because I know she's probably going to be very upset when she finds out that she tried to speak and we continued and then she got off.
Yeah.
And then we heard the petition anyway. So just want to make sure we take full accounting of her concern.
Hi. She's not responded back to the email. I immediately let her know, but I do want to say for the record, when she reached out to me again yesterday, I told her to put everything in writing because she was not sure she was going to be able to log on.
Okay.
So her comments are in writing on this record, just to let you know that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And it's entered into the public record here, and she is against this.
Let's see if she has any response to the comment.
So if you're talking about parking and things, this would just be for our use. We have a really small house. It's 2-bedroom, 1-bath. So there isn't going to be any more parking. My husband and I park on the street. There's not going to be any more parking. We're not going to park in the back. This isn't for anyone else to use. It's just an extra space for us. I'm a musician, a violinist, so I kind of need a area away from the main house to practice and stuff. Or, you know, if we have a visitor or something, but, what was the other? Oh, it's not going to generate any more trash. Am I supposed to answer her concerns or?
Yeah.
It won't. It's just for my husband and I. It's really just building on an extra space so that he and I can live in a small house.
Be more independent accommodations for guests.
I'm sorry?
This will be more for independent accommodations for guests rather than a income generating.
Oh yeah, we're not going to do income generating, and to be honest with you, we won't have that many guests either. It really is just for us. It's a really small house. And loss of privacy. I don't know how that would affect anybody's privacy. Was that a concern of the neighbor?
She did say yes, loss of privacy.
Again, it's just my husband and I. So, other questions?
Any questions more for the petitioner?
So there won't be any more trash. There won't be any, we're not going to throw any wild parties. It's going to be just as it is, just a little more comfortable for my husband and I, so we can stay married and not fight.
there anyone online that wants to comment other than the lady that's not there anymore?
No, sir.
Okay, and I don't see any members of the public here other than our staff. So if you ain't no more further questions for the petitioner, we can enter into board discussion. And I'd like to, just for the sake of discussion, I mean, I understand what their use is going to be, but it doesn't necessarily mean the next owner's use, future owners. But the ADUs are not inconsistent with this neighborhood. I live in this neighborhood. I mean, we have them, and the people are building them all the time now. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this is very close to conforming. 5% from 125 is almost a technicality. So, I don't see a problem with this at all.
Mr. Griffin?
Nope.
Mr. Turner?
Yeah, obviously we can't say what the future uses for future property owners would be, but I do believe all of the public comments were under the impression that this was going to be an Airbnb. And now that we do have that context, that's not the intention. I think that they would be a lot more satisfied.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Blunt?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Jones? Would someone care to make a motion?
Motion that we grant petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and variance is granted.
Thank you.
Yeah, because she said pretty, please.
Thank you.
All right, this meeting's adjourned.